5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Monday, November 17th on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I am Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, biologists use microphones to study the sounds of humpback whales. But first, a new K-12 charter school is on track to open its doors in Nikolaevsk next school year. That's after school board members voted Monday in favor of an application from the community. For charter organizers, the vote is a long-awaited victory, but the approval comes despite concerns from district officials about the charter's viability. The Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education vote came down 5-3 in the charter group's favor. Of the members who supported the charter, more than one suggested approval would reward the organizers' hard work. Here's Micah Van Buskirk, the new Eastern Peninsula representative.
It's a bumpy road. I think there's some uncertainty here. I can absolutely appreciate the administration's concerns. I think as a school board, it's time for us to take a chance on these guys. They have really worked hard.
That uncertainty refers to a number of problems identified by school district administrators, including the Nikolaevsk Charter Group's proposed budget, facility, enrollment projections, operating plan, and compliance with state law. Carrie Denderant is the district's assistant superintendent and oversees charter schools. She says she tried unsuccessfully to review the district's concerns with organizers as their application has gone through different iterations.
There have been several suggestions and to try to assist through this whole entire application process, but the application has not been the same application that was originally submitted on October 1st.
Blake Sawyer is a Nikolaevsk parent and helped write the charter as president of the group's governing committee.
I understand the opposition to it, and I appreciate the concerns, but I feel like we have done our due diligence to try to address everything as best as we can, and this is the best presentation that we have for this application.
This year marks the fourth in a row that the Russian Old Believer Village has tried to get a charter school off the ground. This year, the stakes for organizers were especially high. That's because the district closed the community's existing K-12 school to save money. The closure sent the community students to a homeschool program or to schools in other communities. The closest are Homer High School, about 20 miles away, and Chapman Elementary, about 10 miles away, in Anchor Point. Sawyer says his group has a commitment from the Kenai Peninsula Borough to get into the now vacant school building, although the borough could not be reached for comment about that by airtime. Organizers are not required to have a facility locked down in order to get their application approved. But not having a building lined up has been problematic to opening other charter schools in the past. Clayton Holland is the school district superintendent. He said at the Monday meeting, the lack of an itemized budget from the group is also concerning.
Nikolaevsk Charter School's application relies extensively on Alaska Homestead Education, Inc., or AHE, to operate and provide resources for the school. However, AHE has not provided financial documentation verifying its fiscal capacity to pay fair market lease or sustain operations.
According to Alaska's State Corporation Database, Alaska Homestead Education Incorporated was created as a nonprofit in 2023 to provide educational support services. The group's latest filing with the state shows that six registered agents are also current or former Nikolaevsk Charter School organizers. Currently, three nonprofit officials are also named as Charter School Academic Policy Committee members. Mariah Carone is one of those dual members. She has spearheaded efforts in Nikolaevsk for a charter school for years and said the borough has pledged to loan the nonprofit money if needed.
They've said that they have loans available. So if something broke and AHE didn't have the funds to cover it, because like we've stated before, we're a relatively new nonprofit, then the borough would loan us the funds to be able to make the repairs on the building because the borough really wants to see this go through.
But some board members still have doubts. Homer Representative Tim Doherty says the district is already strapped for cash. He says that makes uncertainty around Nikolaevsk's budget proposal seem like a risky investment.
I am concerned about the liability of the district through the legislative process and how that's going to come to us if indeed some of this fails. That being said, the people that are sitting in this room are absolutely fabulous.
But Diane McCrae was another board member who applauded the community's hard work. She pointed to the conduct of the children who accompanied charter school organizers to Monday's meeting.
These children are in a boring meeting after driving all the way on up here, and that they're doing pretty good, very good. And I think the culture that you have gets rid of some of the issues that a lot of public schools face with the children, because you're all together and you work together with the children. And so I think I'm in favor, 100%.
Monday's vote caps another busy year of charter school decisions by the school board. The board received 3 proposals this year, including from Nikolaevsk. Earlier this month, the board rejected a proposal from the K-8 Aurora Borealis Charter School to add a high school program, and it renewed Soldotna Montessori Charter School's application for another decade. And finally, biologists use fancy microphones to study the many sounds humpback whales make beneath the surface in the waters of Southeast Alaska. But they're also increasingly interested in sounds whales make above the water. And one researcher thinks Alaskans themselves, many of whom spend their days and nights near or on the ocean, have a lot to add to that work. As Avery Elfelt reports for the Alaska Desk, he's asking them to weigh in.
Fred Sharp has studied humpback whales in Alaska for more than 3 decades. He's particularly interested in the noises they make and what they mean. Take, for instance, what he calls a trumpet. There's also what's known as a thrum. Sharp helped collect those sounds using above-water microphones in a humpback whale hotspot near Petersburg. Lately, Sharp has been focusing on studying these sounds, which are called aerial signals. He says they're largely understudied, especially compared to underwater noises.
They go undescribed by science. Yet there appears to be, within the small communities, like the Tenneke Inlet, Petersburg, Warm Springs, that some of the locals know about them, the fishermen know about these sounds.
Sharp is calling on Alaskans to listen close, document their observations, and pass them along to him directly. He's heard some really interesting anecdotes so far.
Some folks have even said, yeah, we get these crazy night sounds and scares the dog and the dog's hiding under the bed, right? And so lots of ways to investigate these sounds, and I'd love to hear about anyone's interactions or detections of these amazing signals.
Another person relayed listening to what they thought were whale sounds during late night hot tub sessions. Sharp says the sounds could reveal a lot about the mysterious creatures. Think their hunting behaviors, communication systems, and more.
They live very cryptic lives. Anything we can utilize to just gain insight into their interior worlds and to appreciate them more deeply and be better ocean stewards, it's always really important.
Trumpet sounds, for example, can travel more than 20 kilometers through the atmosphere and typically indicate that a humpback is really excited. Here's Sharp's rendition.
Skwonk!
Sharp says there could be practical applications. For starters, better understanding the sounds, including notable respiratory behavior, could help humans better read the animals during entanglements and minimize conflicts between humans and whales more broadly. It could also contribute to research on where the whales are located and how many there are in a given area. Currently, he says, relevant research is largely driven by underwater listening, which requires expensive, ocean-proof technology. But a better grasp on aerial signals could actually allow researchers to rely instead on cheaper, above-water mics.
And of course, a lot of it's just curiosity-driven. You know, you just hear these sounds and just wanting to try to understand them. And if they are part of a deeper communication system where the animals are communicating over longer distances, that's also super exciting.
Sharp says anyone who lives, works, or recreates near the water is likely exposed to the sounds so long as they pay attention. And depending on a given area's acoustics, people could hear them from really far away. Even high up in the mountains, he says sounds can roll up a valley from the water below. During a recent month-long visit to Haines, Sharp said he was particularly excited about that possibility in the Chilkat Valley, which is famous for its jagged peaks that tower above the Lynn Canal.
And it kind of reminds me of Patagonia, these mountains here, and it's like the potential for sounds to be bouncing around and be heard and detected in odd locations is very enticing.
Sharp says you can reach him via email at iyoukeen@gmail.com. The whale sounds in this story were collected under a permit issued by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Avery Elfelt in Haines. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a lovely evening. Thank you.